So the first thing I want to ask is just to introduce yourself.
My name is Ashirvad Zainchik. I'm from Brazil, and I've been meditating with Guru for about 15 years.
Now, last night you gave a class in Manhattan, and it's obviously not the first time. Do you keep track of how many classes you've given over the years? Is there any way of keeping track of this thing?
I did that in the beginning, but for the past few years, I'm not keeping track anymore. It's been a long time since I started giving classes, and I try to do that as often as I can.
Well, now, what is your recollection of the first time you took a meditation class for you? Do you have memories of that?
When I was in Brazil, when I joined the center, there was such a great feeling that the person who gave me the class did a great job. I mean, I just felt the person was doing something very special for the world. It's not just for this path, but for the world at large. So I felt, wow, that's great. I want to do what this person is doing. And of course, I knew that wouldn't happen soon. But in fact, it happened sooner than I thought it would happen, because that person left Brazil. And when the person came back, said, well, I think you guys should also give classes. I'm not the only person who should do that. You are locals. You should continue. So we were pretty much forced to start doing that. And as soon as I started with my friends, I think everyone felt that. It just felt a thrill, a really special feeling. And that's why I kept doing this since that time.
So you would say that you've been a disciple for 15 years?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, when would you have given your first class? In like 12, 13 years ago, or how long ago?
Yes, I think it was maybe after I was 1 year in the center. That was my first class. But my memory is a bit fuzzy, because in the beginning, I was translating mostly, because people would come from other countries to give class, and I was translating them. But to me, that was this really special feeling, because you felt as you were giving the class, because a person would say something, you would translate, but you would address the seekers right in front of you. You would address the people in front of you. And that feeling was that you are actually talking to them directly about spiritual things. So although the words were not yours, you are still talking to them in your own language.
Do you think that the class that you give now, after all these years, is in some way very much just like the one that you were given, or have you changed or developed a way of giving classes in this time? I mean, do you give quite a different class than you did originally?
I think so. It's different. In the very beginning, there's a lot of insecurity. There's a lot of trying out what's the way to do this and how to do a good job. And it's always a bit of you're not totally comfortable talking about certain things or just finding the right format. I remember I used to write down everything I wanted to say, and I had this little book that I would write down the class structure. And when I came in front of people, sometimes I would forget about everything. I didn't remember anymore. And so then I started to have this paper beside me, and very often would just get lost. And I had to always look at the paper just to find my bearings, where I was. And it took a lot of energy. I thought it was really stressful just to get that going, to give people the right information and so forth. And of course, I think you do that over and over, and then it gets easier and easier, and then you don't, nowadays I don't think I plan too much the classes. And when I see people, and there's a kind of inner interaction somehow, and then things come, and I think that guru also gives you a lot of inner inspiration, what to say, how to say things.
I think you said last night that teaching meditation, and I'm going to paraphrase here a little bit, is both the easiest and the most difficult thing in the world to do.
Yes.
What do you think you mean by that?
I think it depends on your state of consciousness, when you are in the heart, which is something we try to have people do, and you yourself are not doing that most of the times, or at least not always. But once you get that feeling that you are in the heart and you can relate to people from that perspective, everything is so easy and so simple. There's no stress, there's nothing, it's just a flow. But if you're thinking about the class all the time and try to analyze or try to compare, it becomes very hard. It's really not so satisfying anymore.
Do you think there are... I know that Sri Chinmoy had said that maybe that there were three very main qualities that one should have in giving classes. Or do you know what they are? Qualities mean...
I'm not quite sure. I think I remember him saying the three qualities, but for the seeker. For the class giver, I'm not sure if I ever heard that. But
simplicity, sincerity.
Yeah. I assume that those things are good. I don't know. I just don't remember that.
What kind of things do you like most about giving a class? I mean, that certain experiences or feelings that you have. I guess maybe you've said one of them is just that everything flows and you're not really the doer in some ways.
Well, I always remember myself when I came to the first class, that feeling I had at the time of someone seeking for something and trying to find out some reason or some kind of sense in my life. And I feel I can relate to most of the people who are sitting there because I was one of them. It's just I'm in a different place now after all these years, but I'm still a seeker as they are seeking something. So when I see that I can connect to that, it gives me so much joy because it's just like a big family. We are all aspiring for something similar.
There seems to be, and it's quite true, that very small fraction of those people that you saw last night or over the years would actually become students of Sri Chinmoy. But do you get a sense that there's a larger number of them whose lives are changed because they've somehow brought meditation into their life, or maybe they've just learned a little bit about a true spiritual master? What do you think?
I believe that people come to classes, so, as I said before, they are seeking for something, but most of them are not quite sure what they're searching for. They just come to the classes and somehow something happens there. Some become students of Sri Chinmoy, and I'm sure the numbers are not that big. It's a small percentage. But of course, that's not the goal of giving classes. At least to me, the goal is something different. And if I can just inspire people just to look at something deeper and spend a little time in this inner quest, I think that's the main goal. If they would take those things and use them, it's up to them. It's not my job. My job there is just to be inspiring somehow in any way so they can take something home and hopefully use those little things they learn. And down the line, some of them may decide, well, Sri Chinmoy is a good teacher, a good master. I want to become connected to him. But you can never tell, and that's not up to us to tell, I guess.
In the next week, the numbers will, I think somebody said you had 161 people there last night, will diminish down to more dedicated. Those people, I think you said, done their homework, want to be more serious about it, and the numbers will go down. Does the class giving from here on in get harder, easier, or is it, what do you say about that?
I find it easier. As time goes by, the numbers are down, and that's a part of this process, and actually to me it's how it should be, because when you start there are a lot of people who are curious about what it is, they want to learn more, but they get enough. One class might be enough for them. They get the techniques they need, they get the information they need, and they move on. So the next class, you don't have these people there. They are on their own road, their own way, and then you have people who are more dedicated to what exactly you proposed in terms of discipline, in terms of intensity, So once you get those people only, I feel it's easier because you're talking about the same things and you can actually go deeper.
Has anybody asked you a question that surprised you, or you know, there's nothing new out there in terms of people asking you things about?
You have all sorts of questions and funny situations, and over the years, you get surprised sometimes. There's so many funny and interesting, sometimes bizarre situations that happen in the class, and sometimes we just talk about those things with different class givers and we get a good laugh because it's really nice. You can just share all these funny situations, and everything in the end is just you trying to do something and you don't know what's going to happen, who's going to come and what kind of situations you're going to face. And sometimes it can be stressful or sad, but you can look back always and laugh about those things.
Now, if somebody were listening to this now and they are a potential class giver, there's somebody who says, you know, my life has changed, maybe I can help other people. For somebody who is sitting on the fence about giving meditation classes, what encouragement would you give to them?
Well, what I would say is just to try. Just go out and try. Just do it. Because the thrill you get from doing it, it can really explain how much joy or how much inspiration you get for yourself. Of course, you're doing something for others, but even if you want to be very selfish and say, well, I'm doing this for myself, you're still correct because you get so much inwardly just from being out there, interacting with people and trying to spread some goodness or some light from your teacher, from your spiritual teacher. So that alone can change, I think, every seeker's life. If you're a seeker and if you want to feel something inside yourself and you're talking about those things, I think you get so much just from that experience.
So there isn't such a thing as, if someone really feels a genuine inspiration and basically they know the techniques of meditation and they said, well, maybe I shouldn't do it. And you say, well, you know, in the end, if you do have that inspiration, you'll get something out of it more than you even bargained for.
Yes, I think once Ritchie said that too, that you can imagine what happens once you get out of there and just try to talk to people. You may not feel confident, you may not feel you can do a good job. I was very insecure for many years in the beginning of my journey. I never believed I could go and just be in front of people and talking about those things. I was so insecure, but that changed. But the main thing is, it doesn't really matter what you say, I realize. You can talk about very interesting things for hours and you may not inspire that many people. On the other hand, you may not say much, but just your presence somehow can inspire a lot of people. So you never know. If you're out there doing this job, you may get something totally unexpected and beyond your imagination even.
Even if you're part of the process of putting up the posters, setting out the books and things, everything.
Absolutely. When you talk about class, usually people just think about the class giver, and it's actually a really big teamwork. I mean, I feel sometimes sorry that sometimes I get credit for something I know is part of a lot of people's work. I mean, you see, we had 160 people, and nothing of that would be possible without the work of Bishwas and all these other guys who spent hours and hours and hours putting up posters and working on the design. Parichaika makes the posters, and so many people get together to make this work. So my job is actually one of the smallest because I'm just there for a couple hours. But all the preparation that took to make this happen is fantastic and involves a lot of people. So it's just not the class giver that is part of this, but everyone else.
I was going to say that, and I think there's probably not much discussion, but that, in fact, in the years that you gave classes in which Sri Chinmoy was still with us, and now it's been quite a few years that he hasn't, the nature of your classes or what the message you're giving has never changed.
No, I don't think it has, because one of the things we try to convey, at least I try to convey, is that the real teacher, he's not gone. Suichimoy, I feel as intensely now as I used to feel when he was present in the physical. Of course, that's talking about the inner connection. The outer connection is different. Of course, you need the person in the physical plane, but now it's still as powerful as it used to be. So people have to also understand that, I mean, if they come to the class and they're looking for a teacher, I try to explain, well, a real teacher doesn't disappear with the passing. So many people do understand, they do feel like that. And I'm really happy to see that so many new seekers and disciples have come after Suichimoy's passing with the same inspiration, the same intensity, the same love for spirituality as before.
Okay, I'm going to give you a real simple question. You don't remember how many classes, but do you remember, you know how many countries you've been in?
Well, that I keep a track. I think I like to travel, and I'm always excited when I go to a new country. And now it's becoming harder and harder because the usual suspects, I think I've been to quite a few countries in Europe and America and so forth. I don't know exactly on the top of my head, but I think the numbers are probably around 50 countries now.
Right, 50 countries. Something more personal. You were giving classes when Sri Chinmoy was still with us. Did he ever say anything to you directly about giving classes or anything about that that you would be comfortable sharing?
Yes. I used to sometimes ask him about some things related to classes, and of course he was the one who really inspired me to do this. I don't think I would be doing as many classes as I've been doing recently if it wasn't for him. He always inspired me, he encouraged me, and in a few situations he was even he scolded me, or he corrected me. I was doing something that wasn't perfect or correct, and he showed me the right way to do it. For I can give a little example. One time I was talking about Brazil, and my class in Brazil were not being very effective. A lot of people came, but they would go away. And I asked, what's wrong with that? And he was very serious, looked at me and said, well, you have to be more strict. You're not being strict enough. And that's the problem. And it really shocked me, because I wasn't expecting that answer. And of course, I changed a little bit the way I was doing the classes. And being more strict was something that was not part of my nature at that time. I could not do it. It was really hard. But as I start trying to do that, I saw right away the result. And it definitely helped and improved the result of everything I was doing. So this is one of the examples how the teacher sometimes can correct you in ways that you would never imagine.
And last point around that is that for those who don't understand his relationship to his disciples, that even though he wasn't in your class physically or maybe knowing very direct details, that his connection with you, with his disciples, was so unique and personal that he could instruct you in ways that were totally surprising.
Yeah, of course we see him as a master, as a very important teacher or guide, but there's more than that. He was a real friend, and I always felt that beyond everything else, he was a real friend. And he treated me, and I can imagine everyone that's been his student, as a friend. And if you can connect to that level also, I think it's something tremendous. Just the love and the concern that a real friend has for you, he had that beyond being a spiritual guide. So to me, that was very unique, that we could approach him, we could have some kind of relationship with him, which was in the friend level, as a real friend, a dear friend.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.